If your vibe is the earlier the better, Lowe's early Black Friday deals are a no-brainer. Get up to 35% off select major appliances, and rewards members get free delivery, haul-away, basic installation, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 11/4. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. LG member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The markets. The Wall Street Journal's verdict is cash is king right now. The latest evidence, writes the Journal, the market's embrace of dividend-paying stocks over another longtime favorite, firms that do buybacks. Investors are rushing to companies promising regular payouts to shareholders, a sign of Wall Street's hunger for cash in hand as the Federal Reserve raises interest rates and major stock indexes struggle. Liz Peek, columnist at The Hill, columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business, is here to help me understand the end of the world as it is portrayed in the Wall Street Journal. Liz, we're in a bear market. That apparently has no meaning anymore. Or if it does have meaning, they need to comment on it every day. Yes, stocks are lower. Yes, stocks are lower. At this point, because we've all seen bear markets before and we've all seen bull markets before, is there any surprise to you the way that this market is behaving these days? Anything you've not seen or we weren't prepared for in these many months of coming off the pandemic? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I would say the most surprising thing is how surprised people are that inflation, 6, 7, 8% inflation, whatever number you want to land on, is hurting the earnings of American companies. Of course, it's going to hurt earnings. And I think what we saw last week, when several big retailers, the big box stores like Target and Walmart, announced earnings and then just got crushed because they mentioned that they noted that their margins were under pressure because costs were going up and they couldn't pass along costs to customers. That is the ABCs of how inflation works. The whole issue is whether or not you have pricing leverage. Today, there was another retailer, Abercrombie, which actually posted a loss, which the stock tanked 32% on the news, which is really, this is kind of what happened with those bigger companies last week. But the reason that investors might be looking for dividend-paying stocks is that those stocks tend to have a floor under them. Right now, investors are trying to scope out, A, how bad the economy is going to get. Are we going to go into recession, or does it even matter? I mean, as the economy slows and demand slows for a lot of goods that were in short supply just a few months ago, what companies are going to do well? What companies can increase their prices to offset costs? Those are the questions. But interestingly, the investment community has kind of forgotten how all this works. And so there are no answers, John. And I think this dividend issue is simply a matter of saying, well, look, if I'm getting a 5% dividend, there are not many of those. Let's say I'm getting a 3% dividend on a stock. Even if it goes down, I know that dividend is secure as long as the company is doing okay. And I'll take that. I'll take that as sort of backstop to holding the stock in a period where I've absolutely no idea otherwise where the price is going to settle. Make no mistakes, as interest rates go up, that value of that dividend goes down. The price will go down on the stock. But at least there is something to hold on to. I think what we're seeing, other than the possible manipulation of markets by machine-driven algorithms and so forth, I think what we're seeing is just sort of a little bit of panic about what do American companies look at in terms of earnings over the next couple of years? Because it's been a while, you know, all during last year, all during this year, the great sort of fallback was, it's okay because S&P earnings are going up, they're very strong. Now I think that has really come under question, and that's why the market has days where it just seems like there is no bottom. It's searching for a bottom, and because we don't know the earnings bottom, we don't know where the stocks are going to end up.
When I see a sign from Menlo Park, California, at a Chevron station saying $7.25 for regular gallon of gasoline, $7.45 for plus, $7.75 for premium, supreme, and then add 50 cents or a dollar for diesel. When you see that, Liz, of course we're going to have a slowdown. Of course people are going to hesitate to shop. So none of this was a surprise, but there is something new to me. This is about slowdown in advertising on the social media barons. I love this, Liz. Investors knew that the world wasn't clicking for online advertisers. In a snap on Monday night, they grasped how dire the situation might be. Nearly every major player, this is the Wall Street Journal, reported a notable slowdown in advertising. All but one actually missed Wall Street's targets. Then, in a surprise announcement, Snap, the parent company of Snapchat, said in a filing Monday that revenue and adjusted pre-tax earnings for the second quarter will come in below the range the company projected. And there's weeping. There are tears on the faces of these young people who run these social media monsters. Liz, did we not convey to the younger, prosperous young people around us that there are going to be moments when nobody wants to buy your stock because there's a slowdown? Did they know about this beforehand, or is this because this is their first full bear? They want to be shocked and weep.
Well, I actually think it focuses the mind, but the answer is, yeah, I don't. Look, there are a lot of people running money who have never really been in a bear market of any material size. I mean, when was the last one? After all, the last really dire market sell-off was 2007-08 because of the real estate boom and then bust. So it's been over a decade, and there are a lot of people who've come into the business, and particularly tech, where they really haven't seen a slowdown. They don't know what that looks like, and they don't know that eventually it will end, John. That is the other thing. They don't know that it will be over at some point. So, you know, I mean, that's probably pretty typical of a major market downturn, that there are a lot of participants who are caught by surprise just because it really isn't in their realm of possibilities that this could happen. And that's where we are right now. I think a lot of particularly young people, again, money managers as well as business managers and particularly tech managers, really have not dealt with non-success. They haven't dealt with a downturn. And look, I think part of the problem is who are they listening to? Are they listening to Jay Powell, who has been incredibly wrong about the pressures facing our economy and the threat of inflation? Jay Powell certainly isn't going to hold your hand through this and make you feel better. How about Janet Yellen? She totally bought into the idea that inflation wasn't going to be an issue. I mean, these people, and by the way, Janet Yellen politicized herself, which I guess is probably appropriate as part of the White House, but she didn't put up any resistance to the idea that we should spend trillions more. Let us all say a thankful prayer for Joe Manchin, who blocked the Build Back Better program, which would have been another $3 to $5 trillion ladled out into the economy at just exactly the wrong moment. So we can be thankful for small favors, although really I'd say Joe Manchin is a big favor. But I think the problem is confidence in the people in charge is at a pretty low ebb. You know, where are the grown-ups in the room? And boy, on the economic side, it's pretty hard to find them. And so I think consumer sentiment is just terrible. It hasn't been good for months, but now it is really dire. And of course, that has to do with just what you're talking about, going to the gas station and finding gas $5 or $6 a gallon, and going to the grocery store and finding that you really can't afford what you did, what you could afford 6 months ago, even though you're fully employed and you think you're doing pretty well. These are bad times for people. And our government, I think the White House, has been very slow to acknowledge it, very slow to respond in any helpful way. The fact that we still have this gasoline price issue, that we have electricity prices being forecast to rise 12-15% in some states as the winter comes on. Natural gas is going through the roof. And we have an administration still dedicated to a transition to renewable fuels, which will cost more and take longer than they're willing to admit. It makes American consumers very anxious. And, you know, I think all of this is sort of piling into a pretty pretty bad stew right now, and you throw in that the fact that you got China behaving in a peculiar way, and their economy is falling down, and also Europe, you know, things you could get pretty discouraged.
Yes, there are two anecdotes from reporting this morning that are typical of bottoms forming in markets. One is that executives at S&P 500 companies that must file a form with the SEC when they buy their own stock or sell their own stock are buying. The second is that companies that buy back their own stocks have increased the buyback in this time of bottoming at the same time. Both of those are positive. The more positive, of course, is that if we are moving into a recession, that will be a time for the Federal Reserve to take to not break so hard. But I think that's in the future, Liz. Have you heard anybody give a forecast? Because you and I watch Bloomberg and Fox Business and CNBC all the time. Has anybody given a forecast that you like as to when we'll bottom out, when the recession will be here formally, second quarter, third quarter, first quarter, 23? Have you heard anything like that?
Well, I think the consensus is that there will be a recession, if there was one, if there is to be one, next year, not this year. I was pretty stunned, actually, to be listening to Bloomberg Radio over the weekend, and they have some group of 77 economists. Apparently not one of them is forecasting recession, which actually caused me a severe heartburn, because I just could think, how could you find 77 economists right now who are not looking at reality? I mean, what do we have? You know, honestly, John, what we have is exactly the reversal of things you and I have talked about over the last couple of years. Consumer net worth is plummeting. Consumer sentiment is plummeting. We have inventories now increasing. Some companies that have been scrambling to get inventories in line with sales are now saying, whoops, we overdid it. And now we may have to have markdowns, which actually is good for inflation, but not very good for manufacturing. We have manufacturing indices going down. I mean, there are a lot of indications that the economy is slowing more rapidly than expected. Maybe that's good in the sense that if you're really consumed with what Jay Powell is doing, maybe he can take his foot off the brake, as you point out, by the end of the year. I'm worried that even though the economy is slowing this drastically, inflation may not meet expectations. In other words, it may not come down as rapidly. Though some of the economists I like best are saying, yeah, it's peaking. But the question is it peaking at 6%, 5%? Are we going to stay there? And is the Fed going to continue to focus on inflation in 2023 and drive us into recession? I don't know. But, you know, the markets will anticipate this in a pretty uncanny way usually. And my guess is we're not quite at the bottom yet, because that expectation is still unformed. And really, people don't have their hands around how bad it's going to get.
Right. The old metaphor is you can't catch a falling knife. We're going to turn the New York City recovery when we come back. And a new article appearing in the Nature magazine about communication virtually or communication in the room, and how this may or may not be a determinative for the new office post-pandemic. Elizabeth Peake, columnist at The Hill, columnist at Fox News, much on Fox Business. I'm John Bash.